Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Boker Tov, good morning, and welcome back to most of you. Let us talk about what I guess, given the way I approached it last night, might even be called an incendiary Torah topic, because it has to do with a concept that for the most part America hasn't had for a long time. Judges, Shoftim, and that's how this one begins. It says, judges and officers, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18. Judges and officers you're to have. Now, for the most part, the sages say, what this is the creator of the universe telling us that in a just society, which we should seek after, we're supposed to have righteous justices, judges, officers, people who, in other words, understand the Torah of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh and honestly seek to follow it. Anybody listening ever even seen anything remotely resembling that out of Washington, D.C., or for crying out loud, even your state house and local representatives? I will suggest we have come so far from that that for the most part, what I'm going to say next is at least, I don't think, too much arguable. These Torah portions, last week's, this week's as well, for a couple reasons, I touched on all of them last night, I may or may not hit all of them today, are very much not politically correct. You can point to a whole bunch of reasons why they're not politically correct. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, that's probably one of the reasons why I think they're perhaps among the most instructive in the scriptures. Because ultimately, if we want to understand that the human heart is desperately wicked, says Jeremiah, that we've inherited lies from our fathers, says the same prophet, that there is so much the other prophets, and indeed Yahushua too, point out that are absolutely antithetical to modern society. You can look at the things in Scripture that have not been done away with. He says so, that the Romanized, paganized whore church, yeah, I said it, has claimed has been done away with for 17 centuries or more. And of course, in a land where the law is no longer permitted to be read in the halls of Congress, taught in the schools, or for crying out loud, even so much as allowed to enter the Oval Office, you know, things have gotten really, really ugly. So by definition, I guess you'd have to say that not politically correct Torah portions that have to do with instruction he laid down for us in genuine print and said things like, repeatedly, over and over and over and over again, keep forever. This is my instruction. This is my Torah. These are my statutes, my judgments and commandments. Hearken, listen, obey, do them. Why, yeah. Yeah, it's controversial, you think? Because there are a whole lot of folks that hate him. They hate his word. They hate everything about it. And they even hate those who keep it. So, let me start at least the introduction with a reminder. Now, this actually is one that I think was so appropriate. I did it last week, too, but it bears repeating. This comes from the words in red out of the Brit Hadashah, the Apostolic Writings, the Renewed Covenant, chapter 16, Yohanan, where Yahushua is saying, look, there are a lot of things I have spoken to you. Let me quote it. These things, in the English at least, I have spoken to you so that you should not be made to stumble. Well, maybe it's a little late for that. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yeah, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers Elohim service. We've seen that already this morning. We got people drive-bys and the usual satanic influences occasionally come into the room, and they essentially say all kinds of things that have one and one intention only, and that's to disrupt and to wreak chaos and the kinds of things that the adversary tries to do on his Shabbat. But I guess that's mild by comparison to what's going on literally in society in general nowadays. Listen to the next verse. They're going to try to kick you out of the synagogues, 400 years after the time of Yeshua in the 4th century and before. Already, those who kept the Sabbath were being called anathema to the paganized church. Some of you know the history. A lot of folks don't, especially a lot of folks that haven't yet come out of her, don't realize that when the Creator says, keep my Sabbath, my feast forever, don't do the pagan things, and we've talked about those for several weeks. That lesson's going to be repeated over and over again still, even in the one-fifth or so of the Torah that's left before we get to the end of the cycle. That lesson is so clear. And yet it was only four centuries. It was pretty well a done deal by AD 365. They just got nastier and nastier about it. First, they called people anathema. You were a Judaizer if you dared to suggest that the creator of the universe was the same yesterday and today and tomorrow, and that he meant what he said. Now, of course, you know that the Romanized Church prohibited the so-called laity, this doctrine of the Nicolaitans, from even being discussed. It was a capital crime throughout the Middle Ages and before for a peon, a lay person, to even have a copy of Scripture. Why? Because he might read it and realize that the guy in the funny hat was lying to him. And that the priest was, in fact, doing exactly the kind of things that Deuteronomy 12 and 13 and other places says don't do. Saying, thus spoke Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, when he did not thus speak. So we've had a long, long time to really, really go over the bridge on that one. Now, my line for quite a while has been, if you can tell people for 1,700 years that the law is done away with, then why in hell would we think that a constitution written by mere men intended to protect rights that once upon a time they unanimously agreed came from a God that is no longer welcome in the schools or the courthouses or the Congress or the White House? Well, why would you think his law, if we can get rid of that, wouldn't follow on? In other words, why are we surprised that the Bill of Rights is done away with and that the law doesn't mean squat anymore? Back to the beginning of this portion. Judges and officers you shall make in all your gates, which Yahuwah gives you, tribe by tribe. They shall judge the people with righteous judgment. Wouldn't that be an amazing change? I doubt most people alive today could even contemplate what it might look like. Listen to verse 19. You shall not wrest judgment. You shall not respect persons. Well, no, no. If it's Hitlery, she can commit treason. She can commit murder. Don't you peons even think about that. If you commit keeping and bearing arms, we may bust down your door at 4 a.m, shoot your dog, and kill you. This is not news, folks. I do the story it seems like not a week goes by. We don't see several of them all across the nation and indeed around the world. Some peon, poor person, happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. They were in their home, in their bed. Somebody bust down the door. We don't need no stinking warrant. I got a badge and a gun. You don't. Boom, boom, boom. That was your dog. Boom, boom, boom. That's you. Oh, wrong house. Sorry. What are you going to do about it? Ha ha. You think there's justice in this land anymore? Well, not unless you're we're coming up on 9/11 anniversary. They're pushing that one real hard. Still got an official narrative to sell. We don't have any more respect for science and the truth that way than we do the law. I guess the same thing is true, right? If we can ignore the law of God when it comes to his statutes and judgments and commandments, we can ignore little things like gravity and F equals MA and all of the other equations of motion and physics that basically say, hey, they're lying to you when it comes to the story of the Twin Towers, actually three of them that fell, and so forth. Well, the reason why I mentioned all of that in this context was because you remember the mayor of New York then, Rudy Giuliani, shortly after the buildings were brought down by what obviously are demolition charges or worse, they took the steel that made up the reinforced structure of those buildings, hauled it off, and sold it to communist China, where it could be melted down and then eventually turned back into products that are possibly sitting on Americans' shelves today. Little do they know that what happened is because, like Hitler, Rudy, and so many others who are covering this thing up are above the law. They committed obstruction of justice, evidence tampering, all kinds of felonies that once upon a time would have been considered crimes. But if you're above the law, don't worry about it. Back to verse 19, right? You shall not wrest judgment. You shall not respect persons. Well, let's not kid ourselves. Nor shall you take a gift, for a gift blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Well, what does it do to the scumbags that are easily bought and sold and that will trade power for sex, you name it? We have come so far from this stuff. The reason this is not PC again, and it's so instructive, is because if we'll actually read it and contemplate what it says, we start to ask ourselves, for crying out loud, what has gone on? Here's the line that really tends to upset me. because it repeats it twice. The word is Zedek. Zadek, a righteous person. That same root word there is justice. Those who seek justice are called Zadeks. Those who are righteous and seek justice. The Torah observant. All of these words, in other words, go together, and none of them apply to America or indeed the world anymore. Verse 20 says, justice, justice, in English, you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land which Yahuwah Eloheka gave. It was future tense at the point where this was originally written. It's past tense now, and guess what? Justice was not sought. People were not, in fact, obedient. They did not walk in righteousness, and they have been rightfully, repeatedly even, ejected from the land. Now here we are scattered throughout the world, where the world basically declares things that are in total opposition to His Word. And some of us would like to seek justice and follow it, but we're going to have a hell of a difficult time of that as part of a world that hates Him, His Word, and everything associated with it. Now, it's interesting, again, that the next couple verses talk about paganism. Don't plant an Asherah tree besides the altar of Yah. Don't set up pillars, which He hates. In other words, don't do all the stuff that is now routine. Go into a so-called court of law. Go into the Capitol Rotunda. Look at all the pagan stuff that you'll see there and ask yourself the question, well, are we surprised at what we're seeing happen? All right, what I want to do next, because the rest of the Torah portion, and again, I tend to go through this at some length on Friday night, Erev Shabbat, speak to all the specifics, usually, but not always, in pretty much in order. Essentially, there is a consistent thread that runs through here, and it is this idea of justice, justice, you shall serve. Among other concepts that we see in here are the idea of, oh, don't put a foreigner over you. And he knew it was going to happen, when you ask for a king, the king is supposed to do certain things so that you know he is, in fact, a brother, one of your kin. In other words, not somebody who has no respect for your law, much less your God, or you as a people. And he is to, he is not to do certain things that basically make him feel like he's really above you. He's not to multiply horses or wives or gold. He, in other words, is not supposed to seek after all the things that, all of these people are seeking after or already have. And furthermore, this one's really interesting. And for a while, the kings of Israel actually did it. Cool Israel, especially back when it was united. You can rest assured David was a man after Elohim's own heart. Solomon, for a while, he was the wisest man ever. But he failed these set of tests. He did all of these three things. He multiplied horses and wives and gold. Arguably the richest man ever to live. And it cost him. There is some indication in the book of Ecclesiastes that maybe he figured it out late in life. If indeed, and I tend to think it was Solomon that wrote the book, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. After basically living in debauchery and learning and trying just about everything there was on this earth to try, he realized, hey, it's all vanity, vanity of vanities, it's all vanity, don't do it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's a great summary. The point is, the king was supposed to write out a copy of the Torah in his own hands. Now, some would say, it's especially and particularly referring to this book, the book of Deuteronomy. But whether it's the first, the second reading, the idea of the second summary that Moshe gives of the whole law, or whether it was the whole Torah, the point is, for crying out loud, there's another example of something that would be a massive difference. Can you imagine if a president of the United States running for office even had to write out a lousy copy of the 10 elements of the Bill of Rights in his own hand? I'll wager most of those people running for office couldn't even recite the First Amendment from memory. I guarantee you, they don't have a clue what the hell the Fourth Amendment is about. No warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, particularly describing the things to be searched or the people to be groped at airports. Folks, we have come so far from everything associated with written law that literally the king or those who want to be king or play a king on TV or think they're gods don't have a clue what it means to walk in obedience to Torah. Judges and officers you shall make in all your gates. They shall judge the people with righteous judgment. We haven't seen that in any of our lifetimes. Guaranteed. So let's talk a minute about some of that. I'm going to do a story or two. These bugged me so much last night that at least the first couple I have got to reprise. This one came up from WorldNet Daily, among other places. Obama, you know, the guy who is not, by any stretch of the imagination, A, honest, B, a righteous man who has any understanding of the Bible, the Torah, or for crying out loud, the Constitution for these United States, has now gone and appointed the first Muslim judge to the federal bench ever appointed by any president in the history of a formerly free nation. It's a Pakistani immigrant named Abid Qureshi, who clearly, although he does not have any kind of an actual bench record to inspect because he's never been a judge before, does seem like the fellow that Hitler put up on stage to understand that Sharia law trumps the Constitution. Now, here's the point. Oh, Mark, are you being a bigot? Are you being a Islamophobe? No, I'm not afraid of Islam. I just recognize it for what it is. It's a fake. It's another god. It's an abomination before Yah. It's the worship of the moon god, and all you got to do is read any of the tenets of the Quran to realize that it is anathema to the things we're talking about here. To the idea that there is one God, he has given us his word, his instruction. And if you read Sharia law, you'll find that in this portion alone are a dozen easy things that make it clear this could not, by any stretch of the imagination, possibly be the same God. And that there is no way on Elohim's green earth that any person could accept Sharia and be a righteous judge in accord with either the Torah or even the Constitution for these United... Well, doesn't it say all... No, it doesn't talk about religion. If you understand the Declaration, if you understand the basis, if you understand a little bit of logic 101... There is an imminent and irreconcilable disconnect between the God of the Bible and paganism. The whole concept of essentially saying you have freedom to worship. I have freedom to worship. This guy has freedom to worship. Those Aztecs and Mayans have freedom to worship. Oh, you know what? We feel like sacrificing your daughter on this altar to Quetzalcoatl or Islam. Can I take off her head? How do you feel about that? Well, you see, it's our freedom to worship. There is an irreconcilable difference between the God who gave us liberty and who gives us life and who says, choose life, and who the founders said unanimously, hey, we hold these truths to be self-evident. There is one God. He has created people. He's given them all basically rights. The purpose of the law for you and the stranger that dwells among you is to protect life. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. You're not to rest judgment. Don't respect persons. Can you see the concept here? They, all of us, have a right to life. You do not have a right to worship a God who says, I'm going to kill you in worship to my God. Ultimately, you just have to say, come on, even though might have been a lot of folks public school educated, if you apply a little bit of logic, you see that when the founders wrote about freedom to worship, they were not talking about gods that essentially say you, on the other hand, are not worthy of life. Look at Adolf's Germany, or for that matter, look at Hitler's America, and understand that there are people who are not worthy of life. Those that haven't poked their head out of the womb yet, well, they're not worthy of life. We might want their body parts anyway. Those who are too old and are useless eaters, well, they're not worthy of life. Those who cannot defend their lives from somebody that says, well, you know, we just might want to grope your wife's breasts or stick something up your you-know-what. You don't have any right to say no. We're going to disarm you so that we can do whatever we want with you because you are slaves. Your body belongs to us. I got a story here I'm going to put aside about the CDC essentially saying, hey, Before you show symptoms, we are declaring ourselves invested with the power to decide. We might just want to take you away, inject you. And no, I'm not kidding. They have actually declared various states of emergency and said, if we feel like injecting you, we could care less what your God says. We don't give a damn about your religion, your body, your freedom. We want to poke you full of chemicals. Now, in my book, if somebody says they want to insert something into your body, whether it's an orifice between your legs or an orifice that is made by a needle without your permission, the answer is not just no, as my dad used to say, it's hell no. And if you can't say no to them forcefully, you're not a free person, you're a slave. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. We have a fundamental disconnect. And again, that's the reason why this portion is so not PC and thus so instructive. Because what we have to recognize is you cannot have righteous Zadekim, people who are Torah observant, who study Scripture and understand all of the precepts there, and they have not changed. Yes, Yahushua came to teach them. He came to teach them as written, to make them clear, to make them undeniable. But he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He changes not. And he said right up front, as long as heaven and earth still exist, not one yod nor tittle, not the smallest part, will pass from my instruction. And it hasn't. Those that tell you that the law is done away with are liars and the truth is not in them. Those that tell you all religions are equal, all gods are equal, are liars and the truth is not in them. Those that tell you that a Muslim judge is just fine and the fact that he thinks Sharia law trumps your God-given rights is not a shofet. He is not a righteous judge, cannot be a righteous judge in accord with either the Scriptures or the Constitution and principles of law that were so clearly, obviously based on them. And the fact that we live in a world that denies that obvious connection tells you basically why it is that we don't have justice even remotely being pursued anymore. All right. Going to take a deep breath, but still focus a little bit on this concept of the so-called legal system. Because I want to make this point as clearly as I can. Here, I'm going to do this story. I'm going to actually read it. I may bleep it on the recording. You know what I'm going to say here. This is the oh-shh moment. This I actually talked about over the weekend last week, but it's so clearly fits here. Not rest judgment, be a respecter of persons. Well, of course, unless we're talking about the woman who would be king, Hitlery. What happened is, turns out, yet another smoking gun. How many smoking guns do we need? She's got a list as long as your forearm of Arkansides. Funny, this portion talks about, you know, you're supposed to have two or three witnesses to a capital crime. Well, what happens if the people who keep turning up as witnesses keep turning up dead? As Arkanside victims. That makes it tough to get the two witnesses, doesn't it? You know what you'll hear nowadays? This is funny too. You go to a law school, you'll hear, oh, well, eyewitnesses aren't reliable anyway. You know? The little child who saw his mother being dismembered, by a guy that broke down the door and then killed her dad and then dismembered her mother before her eyes can't be trusted. Well, she's probably traumatized and we do need another eyewitnesses. But this is where we are, folks. Scripture says we are supposed to confirm things through the witness of two or three people. And it's really, really clear, too, that if you have dishonest, disreputable witnesses, in other words, folks that say, just like the Quran says, oh, it's okay to lie if it's for Allah. It's okay to lie if you want to be president. It's okay to lie if you're looking to cover up treason. It's okay to lie if you've committed various crimes and you might get caught. So let's destroy the evidence, wipe using bleach bit the servers. Make sure that any, special forces troops that were guarding one of the witnesses that might turn state's evidence, like the ambassador to Libya, well, we got to have all of them dead. Do not rest judgment. Do not respect purpose, persons. Justice, justice, you shall follow. No. Here's another one. This one's funny. This is a story from last night. Another vet has come forward. This is a veteran with security experience, has yet another smoking gun email. He says this should put Hitlery in prison. Come on. Who are we kidding? You know darn well that's not going to happen. And by the way, ironically, prison isn't even a Torah-based solution. The right answer is restitution. How do you think Hitler can make restitution for all the people that she's stolen billions from and murdered and seeking to disarm so she can put them in concentration camps? Tough. The point is, I guess the point is made, right? We have people that are above the law, and then we have the peons who don't have any protection of the law. And let's not confuse the two. The Torah talks consistently. You and the stranger that dwells among you. The whole point of the axing of Sodom and Gomorrah was Sodom and Gomorrah not only were they places where all kinds of paganism was practiced, and yes, perverted sexuality was practiced, but perhaps even more dramatically, they abused, stole from, and killed the strangers who came into those places. And they suffered as a result of it. And guess what? His justice, as a fellow named Thomas Jefferson once said, cannot sleep forever. The quote, if you don't remember it, is Thomas Jefferson said, "I tremble for my country when I believe and realize that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever." Let's talk about witnesses, because that's in here too, right? I've already mentioned it. Two or three witnesses were supposed to see things confirmed in the mouths thereof. Well, the ATF, that's an unconstitutional organization whose very existence is prohibited by the Constitution. Let's not mince words here. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, you didn't read the whole thing, Mark. Well, the first part is called a lament. In other words, it is a reason why the independent clause is so damned important. Because a well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. We haven't got any of that anymore. We don't have a free state. We don't have a well-regulated anything. What's well-regulated? That means Big Brother keeps good tabs on it, right? No. A well-regulated man is one who is observant of Torah. He is a tzaddik. He uses righteous judgment. We haven't seen a well-regulated group of people, certainly not authorized by Big Brother, for a long time, because we're told, well, if you read the Bible, you certainly can't serve in this man's army or navy or marines or air force. Those kind of people we eject. We subject them to Article 32s or court martials. We raid them out on a rail. You gotta have all kinds in there, especially those that hate the God of the Bible. How dare you talk about him? You don't hear the term, there are no atheists in foxholes very much anymore either, do you? In other words, folks, the lament is all about something which, lamentably, we don't have anymore, which is well-regulated people, regulated by, no, not Big Brother, not the fake gods, the real one. When they wrote that, they knew what it meant. I guarantee you, not one out of 100 Americans has a clue what the etymology of those words mean anymore. But at least, they ought to know what shall not means, and they don't. It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I go through this periodically when I talk about the law, but suffice it to say, if you read the history, you can go back and look at Webster's Dictionary from the early 1800s, and it will point out to you that shall not be infringed was the strongest, most direct, most unassailable language the founders could come up with. It says not no how, not no way, not ever, not for no reason, not no period. Kind of like what Scripture says when it comes to abominations that are now routine. Shall not be infringed means no, you can't tax it. No, you can't put background checks in place. No, you can't say that because somebody's been in jail and has served their time and you're willing to let them out that they can't ever have a gun again. No, you can't say that because they've been convicted of domestic violence, they can't have a gun. No, you can't say that for any reason whatsoever. If they are free to walk the streets, they're not free to defend themselves from somebody else who's walking the streets that might want to kill them. The whole concept of a free person is if they're free, if they are out on the streets and claim the protection of the law, then the law is clear. Shall not means shall not. Unless, of course, we're talking about America, where judges and officers don't bother anymore to read the law, either his or the one they put their hand on, his Bible, and swore to preserve and protect and defend. And for crying out loud, forget this idea of righteous, Torah-observant, Scripture-obedient judgment. Back to the unconstitutional agency called the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which basically says, the hell with that whole concept of a witness. No, no, we have an anonymous informant nowadays. They're talking about a public-private partnership. That's fascism, if you understand the history. And we basically are saying, we want to protect you so you can provide us with information about gun violence. And as I said last night, you want information? There's no such thing as gun violence, you blithering idiots. Guns don't commit violence. People do. And they can do it with a knife. They can do it with a bludgeon. They can do it with a candlestick in the library. They can do it with their bare hands. And they have. You think Cain killed Abel with a gun? Was that gun violence? This is absolute asinine stupidity being used to justify violation of law, wresting judgment, taking bribes, and doing anything else but pursuing justice, justice, and obeying the written law. See if I can read this piece of crap. There's that word again. From the ATF press release. This is courtesy of a couple stories on the web. To make our community safer, yeah, if you believe that, you probably think justice, justice is what you're going to find in the U.S. courts. Worked for Antonin Scalia, didn't it? He didn't even get an autopsy, come to think of it. ATF is launching a new way to collect tips and take away your right to keep and bear arms. Pre-crime. They're going to prevent crimes from happening because what is a person who's not supposed to be a free person possessing a gun called? Well, that's a crime. Literally, folks, I remember years ago, going and confronting Wayne LaPierre, head of the NRA, at a propaganda event in Denver, Colorado. I had a press pass with a couple of friends. Ask him the question, hey, Wayne, why the hell don't you understand what the words shall not be infringed mean? He was there on stage with the Brady Gun Campaign talking about an ATF propaganda effort to quote-unquote report guns. Your neighbor's got a gun, report him. Might be an illegal gun. What's an illegal gun? Well, we don't know. It's anything we say it is. Shall not be infringed. There's no such thing as an illegal gun if we have a law. ATF now has gone the next step, though. They're basically saying you can use your iPhone, your tablet, your computer. You can tell us instantly. You can tell us anonymously about crimes that may or may not be happening that might involve firearms. See, it might be a crime. You saw a gun? It's probably a crime. Report them. Turn them in. We'll bust down their door. We might shoot their dogs. We might kill them. But you, at least, can rest assured you don't ever have to obey the law or worry about what that nasty God says about turning in your neighbors and bearing unrighteous witness. Yeah, this same Torah portion says, you do something to your neighbor bearing unrighteous witness, well, he's going to hold you responsible for whatever it is that you were trying to get done to your neighbor when you lied. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was the only time I think where a question that I asked as a reporter made the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times, because I stood up in the conference and I told Wayne LaPierre, this is a question. Mr. NRA head, I missed the number to turn in your neighbor, to rat out your neighbor. Was it 1-800-GESTAPO? Or 1-800-POLICE-STATE. You should have heard the assembled press gasp. How dare anybody ask these wise people? Mayor of Denver, governor was on stage, all of these folks. We've come so far, in other words, from any obedience to the law, that people are shocked, I tell you, if somebody actually points out that, you know what you're doing? What you're doing is not even remotely lawful. So again, the reason why I mentioned this story, and yeah, it does, it irritates me. Here's a Gestapo agency, should not exist if we had a supreme law of the land, if the Second Amendment was actually still at all appropriate, or if it ever applied. And they're basically telling people, look, you can rat out your neighbor. You can do it anonymously. You don't have to worry about us ratting you out. You certainly don't have to worry about the God of the Bible saying that by bearing unrighteous witness against your neighbor, there could be any consequences. ATF values your privacy, it says. Isn't that funny? They value the privacy of the rat, the person who bears unrighteous witness and doesn't know what the law actually says, a hell of a lot more than they value the thing that some of them actually put their hands on a Bible and took an oath to support. They're liars and the truth is not in them. Can I say that? Yeah, folks, this is not PC, but it is instructive. This is how far gone we are. One more quick story. Wells Fargo has been fined. Oh, isn't that amazing? Yep, they got a little slap on the wrist. No third martini at the executive lunches next week. We'll get it paid back real quickly. They basically had 5,300 employees who could read what their performance reviews were going to say, and they knew that come hell or high water, they needed to sign up more accounts. Now, they didn't have to be real people or real accounts. So what they did, get this, Wells Fargo opened in all, over a period of years, over 1.5 million bank accounts and applied for over 560,000 credit cards that their customers didn't even know they were being signed up for. Isn't that clever? And then, when the customer who didn't know they had these accounts didn't pay the bills, they charged them, took money out of the accounts that they did had for overdraft fees and late fees and other surcharges. It's called theft. Thou shalt not wrest judgments, be a respecter of persons, take a bribe. Perversion blinds the righteous. Yeah, folks, because these folks have been engaged in what? Dealing with unrighteous weights and measures? The entire industry is built on something that the God of the Bible calls an abomination. Is it any support? Is it any surprise that they begin to support things that are this far out of line? All right, I hope that point at least is made. We are so far from righteous judgment that we don't even have a clue. Now, I want to spend just a minute on something that's also going to raise this may not sit well with folks, but listen carefully. Because I'm sick and tired of hearing a whole lot of platitudes that are full of you-know-what. Bad stuff. How about this one? We have the best legal system in the world. How dare you say anything bad about it? Well, let's break that down. Best legal system in the world. Now, I remember where Yahushua says you'll be in the world, but not of it. Because the world basically belongs to who? The prince of this world, the adversary. The kings of this world, as we know, are antithetical to the Creator. Look at those that are ruling this country and ask how many of them. Well, some of them will pay lip service. Oh, for crying out loud, I heard a speech this week from Hitler in front of a bunch of Baptists that almost made me want to throw up. Literally. She's such a righteous woman. Except for when she kills people, commits treason, and lies under oath. The best legal system in a fallen, perverted, anti-God world. Is that much to brag about? Even if it was true. Even if this was Satan's best legal system and Satan's entire system. Are we happy about that? Are we satisfied with that? Is righteous judgment being pursued? Justice, justice, you shall follow. I guarantee you there's a whole lot of Asherah trees, idols, and other stuff hanging around. You got 9 black-robed priests of another god that basically, as you've already heard, will essentially come out and say, oh, you know, God calls something marriage? Nope. We don't like it. We're going to outlaw it. But on the other hand, if he calls something abomination, you betcha. We'll not only license it, we'll tell you, you have to support it. Or we'll take away your license from a fake god to do business. Ha, ha, ha. Guess who we're serving? So, again, if the United States has the best legal system in a satanic world, if that's true, it is literally a hellish indictment. But we're not done yet. I remember as I was thinking about, you know, how I wanted to phrase this today. Some of you may remember the TV show Star Trek and the movies and so forth. There was a scene from, I think it was Star Trek The Next Generation, I thought it was pretty funny, where one of the Enterprise crew or several of them, I don't know who it was, Picard or somebody, gets caught by the Cardassians. No, not the ones that are on TV now. This is the Cardassians. They're a kind of a nasty-looking, warlike planet. And they're basically told, and I'm remembering this, paraphrase, pretty close anyway. They said, we're gonna have a trial. Well, we want the best representation. We're going to plead not guilty. No, you don't understand. This legal system is Cardassian's legal system. You're guilty. You're going to be executed, but we're going to have a trial. I thought, well, yeah, that's kind of funny. That's the American way. And these people, years ago, were literally pointing out, you're guilty, but we're going to have a trial anyway. You've heard the term show trial. You know what they do in, you know that over 90% of the indictments, or at least the charges, against the peons are plea bargained. They don't ever go to trial. Anybody that's ever had any association with the so-called criminal just us system knows that you're guilty. And we're going to find you guilty. And furthermore, we're going to charge you with 100 things. And you can't possibly find them all. All we got to do is get you on one of them. And it's going to bankrupt you. And you're going to spend years fighting the system. And ha-ha, even if you win, you lose. So why don't you just roll over right now? Accept the rape and the other things we're going to do to you and say, hey, you're lucky you're still alive. You pee on you. And that is a reasonable approximation. You've heard other jokes, right? Any good DA can get a ham sandwich indicted. Any good DA can get a ham sandwich indicted, but the head of the FBI doesn't dare prosecute Hillary Clinton for crimes that it took him half an hour to enumerate on TV. And then he actually had the chutzpah to stand there and say, I don't know any prosecutor that wants to die. Oops. No, he didn't say it outright. That's what he implied. I don't know any prosecutor who would dare to indict her. Talk about being a respecter of persons, taking a bribe.
Oh, it's not really a bribe. We just made him an offer he couldn't refuse on that plane there on the ramp. If you tried that with the Loretta Lynch mob, Department of Justice head, attorney general, you'd be in jail for a bribe. But you know, some of us can get away with it.
Best legal system in the world. What an indictment. Now, a couple of comments. One, understand that there is a big difference. I had this pointed out to me by a municipal judge in Boulder years and years ago, and I was teaching a ham radio class, and I use the word law. I've told this story several times of late, with respect to an amateur radio regulation from the FCC. And he says, Mark, and I respect your technical understanding, but let me tell you, when it comes to law, no, a regulation is not a law. Ordinances, municipal ordinances, are not law. And I understood what he was saying at the time, but not nearly as well as I do now. People don't know what law is anymore. Torah is not law. Torah is bigger than law. Torah is instruction. So there are statutes, there are judgments, there are commandments, there are regulations, there are ordinances, and there are executive crap masquerading as law. Now, they will throw people in jail. How do they get away with that? Answer, because they're subject to another jurisdiction, foreign to our Constitution and laws. How'd they get in that jurisdiction? By agreement. They agreed to serve the prince of this world. You can make that deal with the devil. Creator says, you got a choice. Choose life. I've laid before you life and blessing, death and cursing. Choose life. So there's nothing new here. It's just that when we step back and look at it, all the pieces finally begin to fall into place. When we realize what we're talking about is not law. It has not got anything to do with Scripture. And these so-called black robe priests claim the term justice or judge. They don't use the term shoftim because, for crying out loud, they don't deserve that term. They're certainly not tzaddikim. They've never studied the word. They don't even bother with most of them have an oath of office on file. Did you know that? Federal judge, most state judges, supposed to have an oath of office on file where they put their hand on a Bible and they swear to execute the laws of the land, the Constitution of the United States and of their state. And they don't. But they got all kinds of good excuses why they don't have to answer, because what they know, and they're not telling, some of them are ignorant, but there are a few that actually know it, is that they're executing private law. Regulations, ordinances, statutes that have nothing to do with the supreme law of the land. Matter of fact, there was a famous case in Denver. I know the guy personally years ago who was told, having carried a firearm, he was running for governor at the time of Colorado, carried a firearm onto the statehouse steps in downtown Denver. He was arrested. Because in Denver, The Constitution of the state of Colorado does not apply. And he tried to bring the Colorado state constitution into the court. And the judge threatened him with contempt. And he said, don't you dare bring that document into this court again. I will have you thrown in jail and will throw away the key. Well, that's at least a little bit honest. Other point I want to make. There is something, you'll find it twice in the Constitution if you read it. You'll also find it repeatedly in the common law. And interestingly, if you think about it, it's pretty obvious. You can connect it all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. And indeed to a number of things, including the idea that the Mashiach had 12 disciples, 12 tot ones, matit ones of Yahu. It's called trial by jury. I like the quote from Thomas Jefferson, if you've never heard it. He said, I consider trial by jury the only anchor ever yet devised by the mind of man by which a government may be held to the principles of its constitution. Concept of trial by jury. Now, this is a concept which I'm going to tell you up front has not applied in American so-called jurisprudence for decades. Wait a minute. No, I got a jury notice the other day. Yeah, you got a notice for a jury trial. Jury, in that case, is being used as an adjective. Have you ever heard the term jury rigged? Okay. Jury trial is not equal to trial by jury. It's usually capitalized. So don't think even for a second that when the common law inherited from Great Britain and referenced in the Constitution, Article 6 of the Bill of Rights, for example, says that a person or us, one of the people, has the right to trial by jury, that that has anything to do with what will now happen in America with a K. I'll tell you about a dozen reasons why. You can go look up a group called FIJA, Fully Informed Jury Association, they'll tell you. As a matter of fact, I'll mention this up front. I don't advise people do this. I think it's illustrative, it's educational, to go and see what the sham that's being perpetrated on the American people is. And normally I could do a 1 or 2 hour teaching on just trial by jury and all the things that have happened to it. I'm not intending to do that today, but I certainly want to outline a few things and encourage you to do a little study on your own. There's a little booklet. Most of you have seen it. I've got at least one sitting right here at hand. It's called The Citizen's Rule Book, Jury Handbook. And it's published. Alex Jones, to his credit, gives away I don't know how many thousands of these all the time. I have a stack probably of 100 of them stuffed away somewhere, and it's a great little booklet. Has a copy of the Declaration of Independence, a handbook for jurors, the Constitution, a Bill of Rights, and a whole bunch of quotes from places that are not permitted anymore in the public schools, like the Book of Leviticus, people that are called dead white guys, George Washington, Edmund Burke. Here's a quote from 2 Chronicles 7:14. You might know that one. Here's one from Acts 5:29. We must obey God rather than men. In other words, this little booklet is really politically incorrect, and it pretty well tells the story of why it is, dating all the way back to William Penn of Pennsylvania, before he was in this country, why it is that we had this concept called trial by jury, and why it doesn't exist anymore. And if I'm remembering right, I think it was the Supreme Court in 1909 versus Kansas that put one of the wooden stakes in the concept of trial by jury. What they ruled was, yep, the people have a right to trial by jury. But guess what? We don't have to tell them. Aren't we clever? The court actually ruled that yes, John Adams was right when he said that the people have not only the right but the obligation to judge the facts and the law if they sit on a jury according to their own conscience. But the court doesn't have to tell them that. Isn't that brilliant? Later on, I remember there was a thing called, a case in Colorado, Gilpin County, Laura Creho. They tried to nail her to a cross, figuratively and almost literally, because she dared to exercise the right of a juror to understand that she could say no to a bad law. So the concept is this. Back to Jefferson. What he said was, the whole idea of trial by jury is you got 12 people. Now get this, folks. You'll notice immediately here is one of the big breaks with the concept of trial by jury, why we have jury-rigged trials instead today. These are 12 people chosen at random, a jury of your peers. Let me think about that term, a jury of your peers. Does your peers have to be racially inclusive? No. Your peers are people who come from the community. They may very well, they might know you. Don't you think some of your peers might know you? And they might say, you're accusing this person of raping a woman out on the county sidewalks? I've known this guy for 20 years. I have a little difficulty believing he might be guilty of that crime. Well, then I'm sorry, you can't sit on the jury. Well, who says? Answer, not the law. The whole concept of trial by jury, and you can read all kinds of wonderful treatises by people who have written about it for centuries, is if you pick at random 12 people, many of whom will almost certainly, because they are peers of the accused, they will know the accused. Who better to do what it says here? Judge somebody with righteous judgment. The whole concept of judges within your gates and officers, they know you. When you take one step beyond the point of saying, oh, if we know that somebody knows the law, knows the person, or even has a brain, out of here. I'm excusing that juror for cause. What's the cause you want to excuse this juror? Because this juror has read the Constitution. This juror is clearly unfit to serve on a jury-rigged trial. Well, yeah, he is. You shall not wrest judgment, not take a bribe, not pervert the words of the righteous. Pursue justice. The concept of trial by jury is real simple. You pick 12 people at random. You've heard the joke about voir dire. What's voir dire? That's French for jury tampering. We didn't have voir dire back when we were a free country. Didn't have it. 12 people, they go in. If not every single one of them agrees unanimously that the person is guilty, by definition, they're not guilty. It's not a hung jury. It means they did not agree that this person is guilty. They're free. Period. Can you see how corrupted this whole system has become? We haven't had trial by jury, folks, for the better part of a century. And here's the one. I've mentioned this before. I would encourage you, understand this. This language is now pervasive and satanic. I've sat in courtrooms, halls of no justice, where so-called jurors have been told, here's the oath you will take as a juror if you are selected to sit on this panel of idiots. You will judge the facts only and the law as I, the black-robed priest of another god who put my hand on the Bible but lied, give it to you. You'll judge the facts only and the law as I give it. How dare you think that as a juror, you have the ability to use the brain God gave you to say, you know, this law is not only unjust and unconstitutional, it flies in the face of the Creator's word. All of those reasons, back when we had a rule of law, were sufficient for any of the 12 to say, this law sucks. And no, I won't convict this person or anything else under a law that should not... Give me an example. The last time I was set in a courtroom was a trial of somebody who was accused of having a gun on his own property. Had I been on that jury, you know darn well what I'd have said. The law is an absolute abomination. The Colorado Constitution and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights for these United States. No way in hell would I convict anybody of something that asinine. Well, you know, they're not going to select anybody like that. But the thing that I had hoped to do, had I been called, was to at least point out to the judge that no, not only will I not sit on such a jury, but anybody that has heard that oath, you're not so honorable judge, knows darn well that nobody with a brain could possibly agree to that oath. And then I would have quoted John Adams and the first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay, who basically both said, the juror has the right and the obligation to tell you to go stuff it, judge, because your oath is it's unlawful, it's an abomination. Take an oath to do something that anybody with half a brain knows is wrong. So here we are, literally, we're at a place where people will be told, because that's what they parrot, that we have the best legal system in the world, while criminals run for the highest office in the land. While the President of the United States executes law with an imperial pen that is an absolute violation of the supreme law of that same land. While the God of the Bible is not permitted into schools, the courthouses, or the Oval Office. Why the American people are fed crap about things that not only violate the laws of God, but the laws of physics. Buildings that spontaneously combust and collapse into their own footprints, even if they weren't hit by airplanes. That's the big fiasco this weekend. And all the evidence was hauled away in violation of law, but hey, some people, well, they're above the law. And it was built upon all kinds of things. And what was it used to do? It was used to pass the Patriot Act. I'm talking about 9-1-1 and that particular false flag, one of the most deadly in history. There'll be more. You know there will be more. If they can get away with killing a president, bombing a building in Oklahoma City, violating the laws of physics, and everybody in Oklahoma who was within 50 miles of that building felt two explosions and heard two explosions. You wonder why they violated the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution and moved the bogus trial, the jury-rigged trial, out of the state of Oklahoma and into Colorado? Because the law has nothing to do with it. They violated more laws than Carter has pills. Over and over and over again. I mean, literally, I could cite off the top of my head example after example.
If it does not fit, you must acquit.
Of things that just basically show what a farce the so-called legal system is. Including the Department of Justice, who said, if you dare to say something bad about the religion of Allah, we will persecute you. You peons in America, you who think you actually have a right to freedom of speech and assembly. The law means what we say it means. Nothing more, nothing less. The law is what we say it means today. There's a principle called selective enforcement. You see, the laws are out there so that we, as Ayn Rand rightfully put it in Atlas Shrugged a long time ago, so that we can control honest men. Because there's otherwise no way to control honest men. You have to be able to convict them of a crime anytime they get out of line. And how do you do that? Well, you make so many laws that nobody can possibly keep them, and you just selectively enforce them against the folks that you don't like. You shall not rest judgment, not respect persons. Well, what it is in the United States, they rest judgment because they don't respect some persons. Which ones? Well, the ones that worship another God that's not welcome anymore. The God of the Bible. I guess it ought to be clear. I mean, this is beyond the pale. Now, I want to mention this. A lot of folks are writing comments on the screen that have to do with, yes, how all of this happened. Admiralty law, law of the sea, jurisdictional issues, and so forth and so on. Yeah, there's a whole lot of truth in a whole lot of things. The bottom line, as a friend of mine likes to put it, who is a former bar-licensed attorney, is it's by agreement. It really is that simple. If you break the laws of Yah, and this fellow's name, by the way, is Harmon Taylor, and Harmon is increasingly coming very much around to understanding the Torah, too. So that's a very good thing. But he's been talking about the legal aspects for years. And his focus has been on just the basics of the traffic system. You get a license from Big Brother to operate a motor vehicle. You notice how the words are all terms of art? It's all about putting you into a foreign jurisdiction, a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and laws. It's all about saying if you have a license, did you know you only have to have a license if you're engaged in commercial activity, buying or selling? Can you see the nexus with the mark of the beast? Of course. This has all been carefully plotted and planned and laid out for decades. It's all right on schedule, too, pretty much. It may be a couple of years behind. But when the final solution is put in place with the mark of the beast, it'll be because the system is based on dishonest weights and measures. And when you participate in something that the God of the Bible calls an abomination, you've already made a choice of law. You've made the deal with the devil by agreement. It's why I talk so much about Kesef, honest money, honest weights and measures. And it's going to be in next week's Torah portion. Or the week after. Anyway, it keeps coming back because the Creator seems to think it's an important concept. It all fits together. Choose this day whom you will serve. What we're seeing, in other words, in 100 different ways, is that there is His law, and there is the law of the prince of this world. There's the legal system of actual Torah, instruction, statutes, judgments, and commandments that He's put in place. And then there's the stuff that the world has said is law that is in fact abomination to Him. From its money, to its so-called judges, to the fact that it is by definition a respecter of persons, and it's all about wresting judgment, perverting the eyes of the wise, lying to the ignorant, and convincing them that you don't really have any choice. That's the part that is so offensive to those of us who seek His face and seek to know His truth and to follow Him. The claim that we don't have any choice. That's the thing that I rail against. It's what really infuriates me. It was why last night when I finished the discussion of this week's Torah portion, I'll admit it, folks, if you listened or if you hear it on the recording, you'll know I was PO'd. When I hear, when I read, when I compare Shoftim and what we're supposed to do with what is being done to people who have been dumbed down and are ignorant of His word and have inherited lies, it's infuriating. We're supposed to sigh and cry at these abominations. All right, one more example on that score, and we'll wait, and I'll take one more sneak peek at the screen if there's questions that pop up. Again, I mentioned this, but I want to at least make sure we touch on it, because it is satanic. It's nothing but satanic. I started last night with a story that I'm not going to do today about the New World Order depopulation agenda and the Zika virus and how they're spraying all these chemicals and basically trying to convince people to be afraid, be very afraid. Ooh, booga, booga, booga. Zika virus will get you, so you've got to bend over and let Big Brother inject you with the great God vaccine. Yes, this thing won't cause any problems, this Zika virus. Actually, nobody dies from it. And actually, true, nobody gets various types of microcephaly either. No, ironically, it turns out that just maybe the symptoms are more likely associated with the pesticides and chemicals and crap that's being given to people than it is the Zika virus. Isn't it funny? In other words, oh, this Zika virus might get you, kind of inject you with something, not going to tell you what's in it. And if you have symptoms, that must have been the Zika virus. No, the symptoms are because of the crap they put in you. How are you going to know? You think they're going to tell you the truth? You're not going to have a choice if they have anything to say about it. Which leads me to this story. This is from Natural News. Headline says, CDC declares Achtung a medical police state. And they have announced unilaterally, there's no law, power to detain the sick and those that they think might be. We don't need to prove it, mind you. We'll just detain you and inject you and punish those who don't comply anyway. You don't like what we're doing to you? Well, right there means we're going to do it. Bend over. Here's how it begins. Sinister hidden motives are being revealed as the U.S. Center for Disease Control, I call it the Center for Deadly Contamination, has recently announced yet another new invasive plan for the, quote, control of communicable diseases by detaining people that they suspect might be ill and then forcibly medicating them against their will with something they don't even have to tell them what's in it. They have published their new police state. Listen to this. They did not get a so-called law passed by Congress. Now, never mind that there's no power in the federal Constitution for Congress to do that to a slave. They didn't even go through the motions, kind of like the Kardashians, right? We don't need a trial. You're guilty. You're a slave. So they have declared themselves invested with the power of the police state to detain and forcibly inject chemicals and anything else into anyone they deem to be a threat to the public health. There's no rationale. And they define a pre-communicable stage. Get this. They don't even have to make the claim that you have a communicable disease. You might be pre-communicable. We think that you might have been exposed. So they define... Here, it's beautiful if you can just make up words, right? They define the pre-communicable stage to mean a stage beginning upon an individual's earliest opportunity for which they might have been exposed to an infectious agent. You were in the state of New York in the month of May? Well, there you go! Gotcha! Bend over! Here it comes. Who owns your body? Answer, the U.S. government has declared they do. Even the kangaroo court system set up by the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program can't keep up with the increase in the number of cases that are going of people complaining adverse side effects of various vaccines. You know, forget autism, that's literally epidemic nowadays and never seen among those that don't do this crap, like the Mennonites and the Amish. No, they've already spent $3 billion trying to keep people quiet, buying them off, but it's not enough. So now they're basically saying, we are declaring ourselves invested with the power to forcibly detain anybody we want, inject them, jail them if necessary. There needs to be no agreement in place. Now, this is the thing that really caught my eye. I have talked at length over the years about the idea of people literally being turned into persons, wards of the state, by presumption. We presume that because you're walking there, you belong to us. We presume that because you're in an airport, you don't have the right to be free of gang rape. Yeah, we want to take you into that little room. What happens in there is nobody else's business but us. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If you don't like it, we'll arrest you. You can spend the rest of your life not making your flight, but trying to pay back your lawyer for the court costs that will be incurred by your refusal to say, yeah, a little rape never hurt anybody. Folks, this ought to infuriate you because people are being treated like slaves and they're being told that your God isn't welcome. Well, that's old news, right? Justice, justice, we're not going to bother to pursue because where are you going to go to fight it? Ha ha! That black robe priest will tell you to bend over. And if you don't like it, we'll put you in jail for contempt of a court that you ought to be in contempt of. That's been one of my concerns, right? I figure if I get selected for a jury and they say, are you in contempt of this court? I'd have to answer honestly. You're damn right I am. I'm in contempt of you, you lying, oath-breaking judge. And I'm in contempt of this entire system that basically has nothing to do with the law of the land. So yeah, that's the big problem. I'd have to admit, honestly, because I'm not an Islamic preacher of you can lie if it suits Allah. I'd have to admit, you betcha, I'm in contempt of this entire system. Best legal system in the world? If so, it's hellish. Back to this piece. Basically what they say is you're without rights, and furthermore, there was once a concept called informed consent. Doctors, some of them actually still believe in the concept. You can't do something to somebody without at least telling them, here is what we're going to do. Going to put you on an operating table, going to cut you up. You know, you may die because of the anesthesia. You may die because of drug rejection. You may die because we just don't know why. But at least we're telling you all these things that might happen. CDC basically says, nope, we don't give a damn what you think. We're going to do this to you, and we're not going to inform you what's in the thing we're going to inject you with because you're a slave and you can't say no. Get this. This is actually the text. It says the CDC deems that what they're doing to you is reasonably necessary, and they will deem that the individual consents to anything they choose to do. And furthermore, they declare that your consent, quote, shall not be considered as a prerequisite to any exercise of any authority that they may choose to do to you, you slave you. In other words, folks, it's carte blanche to say we can define you as a slave, we can define you as pre-communicable, and we can kill you. Oh, so sorry. And we don't even have to tell you what we're thinking about doing to you. Now, the people at Natural News rightly point out, you know what? If this sounds vaguely familiar, you may have heard of some people called the Jews in Nazi Germany. The German government claimed ownership over the Jewish people's bodies. They used police state power to round them up. And a fellow named Joseph Mengele. Oh, and by the way, his research is so valuable that the United States still has it, still uses it. Wonderful doctor, old Joe. If you know that I'm angry and sarcastic when I say that, you're right. Menachemo is the Hebrew term. May his name be forgotten. May he roast in whatever place he so richly deserves. These are evil people. And guess what, folks? Their spiritual children are still doing the very same thing. They declared exactly what the CDC is declaring over the American people with the Jewish people. They can stop you. They can detain you. They can bend you over. They can inject you. They can kill you. And they don't have to tell you what the hell they're doing to you. Live with it or die with it, as the case may be. The CDC is claiming the exact same kind of authority over the slaves of the state that every tyrant, including Adolf and Joe Stalin and Pol Pot and you name it, and Barry and Hitlery, have claimed, well, since probably biblical times or before. So yes, be aware of this. Be concerned about this. Understand who it is we serve. And for crying out loud, do not volunteer to serve the prince of this world. Don't give them permission to do what they very well may try to do anyway. But that's where I want to go next. Because after a, admittedly, this is, I know this is tough stuff. This is difficult for us to listen to. But hey, you know what? This is where we are. I've got the stories here, which I haven't even done and may not even get around to, about all the economic stuff that's coming down. We're weeks away from some pretty nasty developments that may or may not cause the mass of Americans to wake up to the fact that you've been had. Your money system has not been lawful since at least 1971. Honestly, it hasn't been lawful since 1913. And it's been really, really bad since two other dates, right? March the 9th of 1933, when the fascist FDR stole the American people's gold. And in 1965, when another fascist, Lyndon Baines Johnson, stole and took out the last honest silver from the coinage. The United States has not had constitutional money in any form since 1965. You can go to the Constitution and look it up. There are two places where it talks about nothing but gold or silver coin and the power to coin money, not print it, not delegate it to an unconstitutional private bank, whether it has the word federal in its bogus name or not. So we're so far gone from law, from judges and officers, and judging the people with righteous judgment and not resting judgment, and where Big Brother literally allows people to go and bear dishonest, unrighteous witness against their neighbor. Bear in mind, the creator of the universe is still out there. He will still hold them responsible. That's part of what it is that I want to talk about next as we start to wrap things up, to connect some dots. Now, what I'm looking at is the Haftorah portion that goes with this. Chapter 50 of the book of Yeshayahu. Salvation is Yahu. That was what the prophet's real name was. And that was literally what his mission was, if you read it and know it. Chapter 50 says, thus says Yahuwah. Oops, actually, nope, I'm sorry, wrong. That was last week. This week, chapter 51. Chapter 51. Listen to me, he says. Shamar, hearken, really is the way it ought to be rendered. Hearken to me, shamar unto me, you who follow after righteousness. You who seek Yahuwah. Well, wait a minute. That's us. Listen to me, he says. Shamar, Shema, Shema Israel. This is very similar. Same wording, same root word. You who follow after righteousness, after the Torah, who seek to be Zadikim. You who seek Yahuwah. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, he says, into the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, Sarah, who bore you, for I called him alone, and I blessed him and increased him. For Yahuwah will comfort Zion. He will comfort all of her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of Yahuwah. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. This is a very upbeat portion. Matter of fact, the teaching Bible says, Yahuwah comforts Zion. That's right. This is one of the Haftorot of comfort during this season of the year. And that's what it's all about. But it gets deeper, and it's particularly interesting, I think, now as we look and say, oh, wow, this is the time where this is really, really appropriate. Listen to me, my people, he says. Give ear to me, O my nation, for Torah will proceed from me, King James calls it law. That's not the right word. Listen to what it really says. It says for instruction. My Torah will proceed from me. Well, where else? And I will make my justice rest as a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near. My salvation, Yeshua T, has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me, and my arm they will trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those, now listen to this, I'm going to suggest to you, this hasn't happened yet. This is a prophecy of Isaiah that, at least to my mind, yeah, you know what they say, the old joke about Mark Twain, history doesn't necessarily repeat, but it rhymes. When it comes to Torah, when it comes to prophecies, when it comes to things we see in Scripture, certainly, in Isaiah, in Yeshayahu, in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, we see any number of references to the whoring wives that are put away. We see references to the scattering. We see Moshe, too, talking about, y'all going to be scattered all over the place. But you will be, when the time comes, regathered. Well, there's been partial regatherings, but there's never been the complete regathering. Yeshua was asked, right? Are you going to bring these lost 10 tribes back? Didn't happen then. I will suggest to you verse 6 here. The heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. That has not yet been fulfilled. I know there are those preterists and others who will say, oh no, it was all done 70 AD. Well, if that's true, what a sad look at Scripture. Pitiful. No, I don't buy that for a second. My salvation, though, he says, there's that word again, that root word, shu, will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. Now notice, these are the same words that we're seeing over and over again in the Torah portion. My righteousness, my salvation, my zadik, zadikim, all kinds of references to the idea of obedience to Torah and of the whole concept of what it means to have judgment, righteousness, to be a zadik. Verse 7 is where I really want to focus. So please listen to this. You got your Bibles, open them up to Isaiah 51 and read along in verse 7, well, the next several verses. Listen to me, you who know righteousness. I'm going to contend this is the people that we're gathering together with now. These are the people who are seeking out His Word. Those are the folks I'm talking to. Praise Yah. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my Torah. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. Pause. Don't fear the CDC. Don't fear Hitler. Don't fear the gun banners. Don't fear the TSA or the ATF or all of these other minions of Satan who walk in men's shoes, who put their hand on a Bible and who lie because the truth is not in them and they never read a stinking thing that they've sworn to do. These are empty suits, folks, at best. These are people wielding guns on behalf of a God that is not the one that they claim, probably, on Sunday, to go and worship. Oh, and how dare Mark come right out and tell them the honest truth. If you are breaking your oath before Him, if you are doing things, and if you're achieving dishonest lucre, taking a bribe, so that you can wrest judgment and not, well, respect some persons, but not others. Because, you know, there are peons that just don't have a right to keep and bear arms. They don't deserve life. We might inject them, poison them, stick them away in a concentration camp. But, you know, if they're really big, if they've got connections to the Clinton Foundation, if they have all the right connections with Madam Attorney General Loretta Lynch Mob or Barry or any of the other folks, if they're a senator or a congresscutter or they know the right guy at City Hall, well, you know, that's what selective enforcement is for. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're talking about something that is so anathema to the actual concept of law and judgment and judges and a true tzaddik who knows where the Torah is. Why? because it's you people in whose heart is my Torah. And no, I'm not talking about any of those who say the law is done away with. Because you're either ignorant, in which case you have rejected knowledge, and as Hosea says, I will reject you for being priests for me, and I'll also forget your children. A done deal. Or maybe we're talking about Isaiah 66. Because when I called, no one answered. Because they chose that in which I do not delight. So what am I going to do? I'm going to choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them. Ooh, there might be people out there with guns that I don't want to have them. There is a major disconnect here. I started talking about this. I will contend. No, a person who puts Sharia law first cannot be a righteous judge. They're serving a different God. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That does not mean I'm Islamophobic. It means I'm Islamo-realistic, and I recognize there's one God, and His name ain't Allah. And at once upon a time, everybody who signed the declaration unanimously understood that. And they knew that there was a creator, whether they called Him divine providence or the supreme judge of the world. One thing is clear. We're not talking about somebody that says, oh, well, you can lie and cheat and kill if it's okay with Allah. There's a fundamental break there. We're talking about His righteousness, Yod-Heh Vav-Heh's righteousness and His words. And it's justice, justice we shall pursue. All right, back to this. This is really good stuff, folks. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my Torah. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness, recognize the word, will be forever, ha'olam. And my salvation, Yeshua, T, from generation to generation. Awake! He said, for crying out loud, wake up! In other words, he says it twice. Awake, awake. Put on strength, O arm of Yahuwah. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Are you, he asks, not the arm that cut Rahab apart, wounded the serpent? Are you, he asks? This is capitalized, in case we're not clear on it. It's not in the original Hebrew, I'm sure, but I think we get the idea here. He's the one who did these things. Some of us were witnesses, well, at least figuratively. Are you not one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? Ani Yahuwah, he says over and over and over again. Yeah, we know who he is. Because we know who's talking and we know who he is talking about. So, the ransomed of Yahuwah shall return. That's us, I contend. May it be so. May we live to see this. May we be deserving of seeing this, of being witnesses to his regathering. So the ransomed of Yahuwah shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I, even I, Anoki, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die? Of the son of a man who will be made like grass? Let me say this again, folks. I did these stories. You've got these lying criminals basically saying, we can do just what the Nazis did. We can declare law with our word. We'll write it in the Federal Register. We'll declare the meaning of words. Pre-communicable diseases. We're so concerned about your health, we're willing to kill you to prove it. We don't give a damn what you say about it because, after all, we believe that with our godlike powers, we can kill with impunity. If we can redefine words and redefine you as slaves, what can't we do? If we can lie about how many people got killed on 9/11 and use that as an excuse to say to the rest of you, ha-ha, you trade essential liberty for a little temporary security and treat us like the gods that we know we are? Who are you to say otherwise? What, do you think you have a right to be free of illegal search and seizure? You think you have a right to be keeping and bearing arms? You think you have a right to worship your God in our schools? We're showing you who's boss. And if you doubt that, just ask Hitler who's above the law. We're not supposed to be afraid of these minions of Satan who walk in men's shoes. Who are you, he asked. You should be afraid of a man, a mere man, or even a woman who thinks she's a man. Who shall die? And of the son of a man who'll be made like grass. And you forgot Yahuwah, your maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. When he is prepared to destroy. Oh, and don't kid yourself. He is preparing. They are pulling out all the stops to destroy. They've announced their plans. They're written on the Georgia Guidestones. They're in all the Hollywood movies. We're going to create godlike AI powers. We're going to bring down the aliens. We're going to do whatever it takes to convince you that we are the gods. And you, 6 or 7 billion of you anyway, need to die. So that we can have everything we want. From jets and yachts to pristine wildernesses where you aren't allowed to tread anyway. Yeah, they're prepared to destroy. But here's what it says after that. This is verse 13. Where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should not fail. But Anoki Yahuwah Eloheka, I am Yahuwah your El, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. Yahuwah Zevuot is his name. Now notice I'm reading it, not what the King James says. They always put that capital L-O-R-D in here. This is yet another one of these portions where he is going to tell us, and I'll get to it in just a couple minutes. My people shall know my name. Folks, we've been lied to. We don't know what his law is. We think it's done away with. We've been told that Jesus is his name, when in fact that's not what the angel said at all. We've been told that another Jesus, whom we've not preached, did all these things that he did not do. And then his name was taken out of the book, along with his character, so that we could believe a lie and be led to fear all of these so-called gods, mighty ones, who think they do his will. What was it John 16 said? They'll claim they're doing God's work when they try to kill you. Well, that's exactly. He was right. It's exactly what we're talking about. Yahuwah Zevuot is his name. And the prophet continues, and I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. So what does he say then? Awake, awake. Wake up. Folks, there has never been a better time to wake up. Now, what I think is really interesting is the rest of this. We're getting started on some stuff that if we will pay attention and read this and reread this until it sinks in, there are commandments in here that we have the authority in him to do today and need to. You know that the singular message of the prophet is always teshuvah. Turn around. You're going the wrong way. Oh, and there's this too. It's the second time it's been repeated. Awake, awake. Stand up, O Yerushalayim. You who have drunk at the hand of Yahuwah, the cup of his fury. Now, I frequently make reference to this cup, the cup that is put in the hand of the adulterous woman, the cup that Yahushua said he took for us. Yeah, let this cup pass from me. No, okay, not my will, but thy will be done. This is the whole concept of redemption. But the cup is still there. You who have drunk at the hand of Yahuwah the cup of his fury, you have drunk the dregs of the cup of trembling and drained it out. The reference appears in Revelation 2. What I'm going to suggest is this is not yet a done deal. In other words, oh, well, it's all over, Mark. We don't, you know, I said the prayer. I'm out of here. Going to beam me. Scotty, going to beam me up. Well, the reason I contend that there's going to be a great falling away is because a whole lot of people have inherited lies from their fathers, and they're going to be gravely disappointed when, just like the Jews in the late 1930s and 40s, they get marched off to a place they don't want to go to. You can look at all of the promises in Scripture and recognize, you know what? He never promises to beam us up. He never promises that if you do these things, nothing bad will ever possibly happen to you. And you don't even have to actually do anything, for crying out loud. All you got to do is just say that one prayer once. Get out of hell free card, and then you can go back and, you know, enjoy your beer and bear false witness against your neighbor. What's it going to do to you anyway? Awake! Awake! This is addressed to those people whose Torah is contained in their hearts. People will quote Jeremiah 31 without actually reading what it says in context. Right? If the Torah was written, they'll tell you the law. If it was written on people's hearts, then it wouldn't be necessary for each of us to teach his neighbor, his brother, because they will all know me, he says, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Well, does anybody listening actually think that's true today? In a nation which not only doesn't know him, but hates him? Awake, awake. All right. You've drunk the dregs of the cup of trembling. That word in Hebrew, by the way, is kos. And drained it out. There is no one to guide her among all the sons that she's brought forth, nor are there any who take her by the hand among all the sons she's brought up. These two things have come to you. Who'll be sorry for you? Desolation and destruction, famine and sword. By whom will I comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets like an antelope in a net. They're full of the fury of Yahuwah, the rebuke of your Elohim. Therefore, please hear this, you afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. Thus says Yahuwah. Yahuwah, your Elohim, your El, who pleads the cause of his people. Now listen. See, behold, Re'eh, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, kos, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it. But I will put it into the hands of those who afflict you. You NSA types listening? You servants of Satan who walk in men's shoes? You ATF, you CDC, all you other folks that put your hand on a Bible and swore to do something that you know darn well you never intended to do because you serve a different God? Listen to what he says. We've all drunk of this cup. We have all done bad things. Yeah, we're all deserving of death, no doubt about it. We've been lied to. We've inherited lies from our fathers. But some of us are seeking to return to him, to awaken. Awake, awake. I'm going to suggest that everybody that hears this ought to listen to those words and do it. Awake, awake. Once you wake up, then return. Because he says, the dregs of the cup of my fury, you're not going to drink it anymore. I've taken it out of your hand. But I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you. Call it fair warning. Who have said to you, lie down so we can run over you. That's a modern interpretation. It says walk over you in the Hebrew. But nowadays we know, no, they run over you. And they may back up and run over you again. And you've laid your body on the ground, like in the street, for them to walk over. Isn't that an amazing metaphor? You got people in America that are literally lying down, saying, come on, Hitler, run over me. Come on, take my guns. I don't want them anyway. Come on, take my rights, take my life, inject me, poison me, mosquito, Zikify me. You do it, I'll take it. Because I'm a good little slave. I'm a good German. I'm a good Nazi. I'm a good Russian. I'm a good Roman. Whatever it is, ain't nothing new under the sun. I'll lay my body on the ground. Just run right on over me. It's your body anyway, you know. Want to search it? Want to grope it? I want to get on that airplane bad enough that I'll let you do anything. Chapter 52 says it again. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy set-apart city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. No, circumcision's done away with, Mark. You don't understand that. Well, it's a sign, he says. I said this before. If I had a son today, I'd circumcise him 8 days from now. For the circumcised, nope, the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Well, that's talking about circumcision of the heart. Maybe so. How do we know your heart's circumcised if it's got nothing written on it, if you're ignorant of his instruction? Shake yourself from the dust. Maybe this is the solution. Awake, awake. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise. Sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Now, here is one of those places I referenced a minute ago. These folks, I will contend, are commandments. Yeah, you know, I frequently repeat this concept, come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing. Be separate. For crying out loud, if you can see these sins there, don't participate in them, because you know there's plagues associated with them. You don't want to be part of that. This is even a little bit more basic. Got to do this first before you can come out. Awake, awake. Now, what's interesting to me is verse 2, because there are a couple of action verb commands in here that essentially say there are things we can do. Don't have to wait for the regathering. Don't have to wait for anything. Don't have to vote either. Don't have to register to vote. Don't have to ask permission from the Almighty State to do this. Shake yourself from the dust. Get up. And then it says, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds around your neck. Folks, we have the authority in him to loose those bonds from around our own necks, O captive daughters of Zion. For thus says Yahuwah, you have sold yourselves for nothing. Now think about that. What is debt? What is dishonest weights and measures? What's the almighty dollar? What is filthy lucre, filthy mammon? I'll tell you one thing, it's not. It ain't. Kasef! It's not silver. No, it's not money. What does he say? You sold yourselves for nothing. I'd say, you darn righty. He's nailed it. And get this. And you shall be redeemed. I'm going to read it correctly because the word in this verse is kasef. You shall be redeemed without silver. Huh. You know what is associated with silver throughout the scripture? Blood. Life is in the blood. If you look at the physical attributes, that's the word I'm looking for, of silver, it's the most conductive, the most reflective, in many respects, the most amazing element, metal of all. And it is routinely and consistently associated in Scripture and, in fact, in medicine. With the blood. Why? Because silver is an amazing antibiotic, antifungal, antibacterial that will cleanse blood. And if you look at all the ways it's used in Scripture, the connection is clear. You shall be redeemed without silver. Amazing. For thus says Yahuwah Eloheka. My people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. How many times have we heard this story? Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now, therefore, what have I here, says Yahuwah, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them wail, says Yahuwah. And listen to this, folks. Does this sound like something we can hardly deny goes on every time you flip on a TV, every time you see some candidate there telling you what's wrong with the God of the Bible? Those who rule over them make them wail, says Yahuwah, and my name is blasphemed continually, every day. Therefore, he says, my people shall know my name. Anybody think this has happened yet? I contend one more time. We are talking about something that will happen. Praise Yah. Praise Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, because that is his written name. Does he have other names? You bet. But I guarantee you, for the most part, his people haven't been taught any of them. His name is, in fact, blasphemed continually. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they'll know that it is I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, "Your El reigns." Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahuwah brings back Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for Yahuwah has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Yahuwah has made bare his set apart, his kadosh arm, in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation, Shua, of our El. Now listen to verse 11. This ought to sound familiar, doesn't it? Depart, depart, get out from there, come out of her. Touch no unclean thing, go out from the midst of her, be clean, you who bear the vessels of Yahuwah. For you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for Yahuwah will go before you, and the Elohim of Israel will be your rear guard. So that is actually where the Haftorah portion ends. And that's, in fact, a fabulous place to end. That's where I'm going to wrap it up today, because it certainly is ending on a high note. I guess with that in mind, I can go back and read the last verse 2 of chapter 21, which is the end of the Torah portion. Not the last verse of the chapter, it's the last verse of the Torah portion. Verse 8. And it had to do with this idea of somebody who's found that's been slain. What a horrible tragedy. Well, it's nothing compared to what happens all over the place today. But back in this time, at least, the elders of the city were supposed to go out and do something which the sages said is pretty darn outrageous. They take a poor, innocent little heifer, never been yoked, an Eglah Erufah, and slay it, break its neck, in basically an unoccupied valley. And the elders say over this slain man, whose innocent blood, or, well, don't know what happened to him, but he's been slain. They use one outrage to bring authority and poignancy to another. And they say, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. No, we don't have anything to do with it, directly or indirectly, is the way Rashi puts it. And we didn't even by negligence cause this to happen. So forgive, O Yahuwah, your people, whom you have redeemed. Do not suffer innocent blood to remain in the midst of your people, Israel, and this blood shall be forgiven them. And indeed, folks, there will come a time when that innocent blood is cleansed. All of these reasons lead me to think we're still looking ahead to a future time. But it does say this. Here's the final verse of the Parsha. So, you shall put away the innocent blood from the midst of you. When you do that which is right, in the eyes of Yahuwah. How can we put away innocent blood from the midst of us when we are in a nation where justice is literally an abomination and the land is soaked in innocent blood? Answer, come out of her. Depart, depart. Go from there. Touch not the unclean. Wait a second. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go, literally? Answer, there isn't any place left in the world. It's a mess. The whole world is a stinking mess. We know what Scripture says. We know how the end of the book says, references in Revelation. All of these things are going to happen. I contend, therefore, that it's not a physical matter of escape. We can, in fact, do what it says. Rise up, shake off this shackle from around your neck, awaken, and depart. How do we depart? Well, we don't depart physically, we depart spiritually. We wake up and we recognize that this best legal system in the world is a hellacious, evil, satanic thing that serves another god. We recognize we want nothing to do with it, by agreement or otherwise. In other words, to use the more modern terminology from the Declaration, we withdraw our consent to other gods. We separate ourselves. Every way we can, we try our very, very best to touch not the unclean thing and to be separate and to recognize what is real law, because it's written on our hearts, or at least we're trying to put it there, as opposed to this crap, this bad stuff that masquerades as law that isn't. We've got a supreme commander, Achtung, the Führer, the Emperor, who basically tells us the most important thing in the world right now is non-existent man-made global warming. You got to believe that crap. That bull you know what. There's no warming and it's not caused by your SUV. And putting more taxes in place to the almighty state to control carbon usage and make sure that you freeze over the next few winters ain't going to fix it. But what it will do is provide more power to those who have already got you believing the lie. Well, that is those of us who haven't yet come out, haven't yet completely awakened, who are still drinking the Kool-Aid, to use another metaphor. It's about who we serve. He has given us everything we need. He has given us the authority to say we will serve Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh and Him alone. He has given us the authority to come out. He's given us authority to shake off the bonds and to literally say, as for my house, we will serve Yahuwah. May it be so. May we walk in His ways and serve Him only and speak His truth boldly as we ought to. No, I don't claim to know when all of these things are going to happen. I know that we're very, very, very close, and there's a whole lot of stuff literally happening daily. I know that it's accelerating, jerking even, to the point where it's hard to imagine for those of us who haven't lived through the Nazis, the Soviets, the Romans, the Babylonians, the Egyptians, just how ugly, just how nasty the satanic hordes can be. Human heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Answer, we're only beginning to get an impression about it. But we know what we need to do, and it's never, ever changed. Seek Him. Serve Him. Walk in His ways. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. Do that which is in accord with His word, and you shall live. And it really is that simple. Do not fear those who hate Him, those who serve other gods. All right, praise Yah. That's where I'm going to pause. Don't see any other questions. If there are any, we've got just a minute or so. Actually, we've got as long as we need, but put them up. We still got time to talk about them. Meanwhile, because I know there's a pretty good lag online, what I'm going to do is that we're going to pray, and then if we don't have any questions, we will close with the Aharonic blessing. So, Abba, we come before You. We recognize that there is one and only one. Supreme Creator of the Universe, Author of Scripture, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahuwah Zevuot, Yahuwah Vitzivenu, our banner, our strength, our Redeemer, our Savior, our King, our Husband, our Maker, our Master. We declare that that is You, Yahuwah. We seek to serve You, and You alone. Guide us, direct our paths. Deliver us from the bondage and from the deception that is so pervasive in the world today. Hide us under Your hand. Hide us under Your wings. Help us to be counted worthy to escape these things that are so clearly coming. Father, we pray Your blessings on our house. Help us to speak Your truth boldly as we ought to. Guide us through this time ahead. Help us to be found Your doing Your work whenever it is that You return and that You regather us. May we be one way or another, Abba, whether it's in these bodies or not, able and ready to see Your time of regathering, to re-enter Your land. And most of all, we pray to be called good and faithful servants unto You. This we ask in Your set-apart name. For You are who You say You are, and there is no other. Hallelujah. Amen.